Friday, partly sunny and warm. Friday's high 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Talking Tuesday edition on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Ready for should be a fun one here on the show today, Reed. It's going to be a Talking Tuesday, this time featuring all of you guys. Normally we have Clint Lamb from Cover Crimson who joins us on Talking Tuesdays at the top of the hour. Had some stuff come up, so we had to punt it over to next week. No big deal there because that means we can feature you guys a little bit more. So we'll be glad to take your calls, 205-342-9904. Got a number of things we'll definitely hit on. A couple of, matter of fact, speaking of Clint, I saw one of the videos that he had this morning, his live, and he was talking about some stuff with the quarterbacks and some stuff that they could potentially be adding to this offense that could help out. So I definitely want to talk about that. That's why I have it titled, This Secret Weapon Could Potentially Be the Solution to Some of Alabama's Offensive Problems. We'll talk about what that secret weapon looks like and how it could effectively help this offense, which is going to need, some work, right? We already know that, Reed. We know that there's a couple things that need some tweaks, and we got to see that from last season into this spring, and hopefully they continue working on that stuff. And we'll dive into all that as well. Reed, you missed a very interesting show yesterday. I know Chase was working the boards, and we talked a lot about the whole Indiana-Alabama beef that's been going on social media after Indiana's defensive coordinator, Brian Haynes, elected to respond to something Ty Simpson had said in a podcast. Now, we're not going to go all the way through this because we talked about it at length yesterday, but it's kind of funny, man. I guess I've become, I don't know, I might be a fan favorite of Indiana now, which I know Alabama fans are probably annoyed by my take. Probably not. I'll be honest with you. I didn't have too much pushback, which it was actually surprising. I guess that means people actually do respect me, that I can say something that they don't agree with, but they don't go too hard. Now, there was one guy on YouTube, man, and some people, they just take it so far. I got told, get the blank off of YouTube. You're this, you're that. And I was like, you know, I kind of was just trying to be a voice of reason, just saying, hey, I can understand maybe their perspective a little bit, or at least the defensive coordinators. But yeah, sure enough, the video, I posted the clip, right? I took the short from that whole portion yesterday. I put it on X, and of course it made its way to all these Indiana fans who I should have known are now using it in like their defense. And I'm like, okay, all right, that's not what I was trying to do here. I just was trying to offer an honest, different opinion on this whole deal and how I kind of viewed it. And yeah, now I'm being used as a weapon for Indiana fans in this whole thing. I don't want any parts of this beef, guys. I'm kind of out of it. I just host a radio show. I just run my mouth, man. That's all I do. So don't use me for that. Reed, did you get to see any of this beef going on? Did you have any thoughts on it, man? I know I said I don't want to circle back to it, but you weren't here yesterday. So I'm just kind of curious maybe if you got to see everything that's transpired over the last several days.
Well, see, I haven't seen it all, so I don't want to say something without context. But if Christian, if you could, like, real quick, in like a minute, kind of break down everything that happened. just because you've seen it all.
Yeah.
And I don't want there to be something I missed out on, and I call someone out, and then I'm wrong because, you know, I didn't read something.
Fair enough. Here's a quick little elevator. They call it an elevator speech. I can give you an elevator resume. Excuse me. But man, that's how you know I'm studying too much Spanish. How about said the word for summary in Spanish? It's resumen, but I almost called it. Okay, sorry. The elevator summary. That's kind of weird. The elevator summary of kind of what went down. Ty Simpson was on the podcast with Caleb Downs and his brother. They asked him about the Indiana game. He gave a response that really was complimentary of Indiana's defense, their elite execution, always being in the right spot. However, he noted that, listen, they didn't do a whole bunch. He pretty much knew exactly what they were going to throw at him, but he still Him and his offense couldn't find an answer. He mentioned not being able to run the ball. He started to mention not being able to throw the ball. I think he caught himself because they're in draft season, and he probably didn't want to make it seem like he couldn't effectively throw the football. But so, yes, it for the most part, it was taken as a compliment. I just let me before I get there. The defensive coordinator for Indiana, he then responded on X in a – I wouldn't call it a series of tweets, but two different tweets. One basically quoted and saying – long story short, we basically he had a bad take, and this is really what happened. I don't even have the tweet pulled up. I probably should have pulled it up. He responded to the tweet, and he obviously took it personal. And then that's when a bunch of not only Alabama fans, but really a whole bunch of fans kind of chimed in, and they were just saying, "Yeah, man, how soft are you to take that like that? He was complimenting you." And then he doubled down on it with another tweet, basically saying, "Wow, it took that was all it took to break y'all's fan base. I should have just said boo, this and that." And then, yeah, so he pretty much doubled down on it. Another assistant or two maybe chimed in. I think those tweets have since been deleted. And then fast forward to yesterday, I just wanted to offer an objective, non-biased, even though I am a former Alabama player, and of course I root for Alabama. But when I say objective, non-biased, I was taking any fandom out of it. I was just looking at it from maybe their side because I'm like, dang, he really did take that personal. I wonder why. And then after kind of putting myself in his shoes and saying, all right, as the defensive coordinator, whose system it is, who is responsible for, you know, implementing that scheme, like that is his scheme. And someone's kind of just saying like, oh, they didn't do much. They did the same thing every single down. I pretty much knew what was going to happen, but they just were. Then that's when the compliment really comes in, like, man, but they were just so good. So effectively, yes, he did compliment them. But I could just understand maybe why the coordinator, not the fan base. The fan base shouldn't really take offense to it, in my opinion. But as a coordinator whose system it is, I could see him saying, well, damn, are you basically saying my scheme just, you know what I mean? So that was basically what happened. And now I posted that little cut up because I just said, hey, I think this is probably a hot take on the Alabama side of things. I'm sure I'm probably one of the few that feels the way I feel. But that's just how I feel. Because like I said, I wanted to take any fandom out of it. And then and real quick, I just viewed from their lens. Listen, I've heard my dad come on this show. I've heard so many people bring up the age and basically kind of, now I wouldn't say belittle what they did last year, but there's a lot of excuses being thrown around. Oh, they don't play anybody. Oh, they have a bunch of 25-year-olds. You get what I'm saying? And I could just understand a program that comes from where they came from, as bad as they were, finally having something to be proud of. Like, just imagine, I hate, for lack of a better word, imagine sucking that bad, like, you know, historically. Like, you are historically, like, you've been a laughingstock of college football, like, forever. And that's no offense to these guys, because they're probably going to, some of them might be tuning in now for my clip, and they're probably going to be mad again. No offense. I'm just being honest. They've been a very, very bad football program. And then they do something as special as last year, something that, hell, I didn't even get to do. I mean, I played with all these all pros and all these first round draft picks, the greatest head coach of all time in college football. We never went undefeated and ran the table like that. We always fell just short of it, right? We would be undefeated and we lost the national championship game. Happened twice, right, to Clemson. And so they do something like that, and I could just imagine from their perspective, like, well, dang, like, people just don't want to give us our credit. So that's why I'm like, all right, they're probably coming from a place of, whether you want to call it defensiveness, insecurity, whatever the words you want to use, I think it just kind of makes sense from those fronts. And that's pretty much the gist of it. A little bit longer than an elevator pitch, I guess. But, yeah, that's what happened, Reed.
Well, yeah, no, and that's exactly kind of what I thought it was, at least just from briefly what I've seen about it. And I think it really does come from, like you pointed out, I think a defensive standpoint because yeah. What have they, like, historically had to be proud of, you know? It's like, and kind of like you pointed out about the DC, it's almost like, hey, like, are you really, like, questioning what we just did? Like, this whole undefeated season? And the fact that, you know, they held us to so many, like, just a short amount of points, and then they scored so many on us. You know, it's like, I don't know. That's at least how I see it, is more of a, lookout of, like, hey, we accomplished something that we've never done, and really anyone else has never done. And historically, we've been so bad. So why are we not getting the credit that we kind of deserve, kind of thing, if that makes sense?
Yeah. No, I think that's probably where their fan base is. That's why I said I think it all boils down to, like, this is just the mature response here. I think it's a little bit of a miscommunication. I made clear, I said this yesterday, I by no means think Ty said anything with any ill will or any intent on trying to throw shade or slight. Like, it didn't sound like that. But I will say this. I just think as a defensive guy, and I think other defensive-minded people that watch Indiana and watch what they do, they would probably disagree with what Ty said, but everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Like, for example, like this is what Dan Lanning had to say. Again, he comes from Coach Saban's tree. He was with me here at Alabama. He was either a GA or something. This is what he had to say about this defense. They show you one thing, and they take something else away. They're really good at post-snap movement, which I know somebody in the chat said yesterday, well, they don't do much post-snap. That's why I disagreed. I said, that's not true at all. They do a lot post-snap, which makes it difficult for the quarterback. Their defensive line plays with relentless effort. They're tough to block up front. Then the technique continues to show up. They've got a guy in Fisher basically playing quarterback and linebacker that's able to get them lined up and execute. They've got a strong corner in Pons. They fly to the ball. They attack it in the air. It's probably the best zone break defense I've seen this year in college football. They do an unbelievable job there, and they get hats on the ball. Obviously, it all starts with stopping the run. They do a great job with that. So imagine like a defensive coordinator who's used to that perspective and somebody basically kind of painting a narrative like that. That's why I was saying, I can understand how, you know, somebody could take that out of context. So, but anyway, I see our people in the chat. They're, oh, I'm getting tired of this. I'm tired of talking about it. It's the off season. This is Sports Talk Radio. This is the second day we've mentioned it. You guys know how we roll. We're just going to talk about what's common. It's the intro segment. Y'all will be just fine. If you guys want to tune into something else, change the channel. That's how it works. You have the luxury to do that. No big deal. But we will talk about this secret weapon here for Alabama and how that could help fix this offense. And we'll do that on the other side. Plus, we'll take your phone calls, 205-342-9904. You listen to the Miller's Edge right here, Todd.
Powered by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Find adventure, power, and performance today at Tuscaloosa Jeep Dodge Ram.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-1000
for a free consultation, no fees unless we win. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be formed is greater than that of other lawyers.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding.
And that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Talking Tuesday, this is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. We got a super chat from my guy, Army. Thank you so much. He says, it's not worth our energy. We should focus on ourselves. Roll, Tide, roll. Which, I mean, we focus on ourselves, Reed, what, 95% of the time here? You know what I mean? Like, guys, it's okay to have other conversations or to have, like, in my opinion, this stuff, whether it's debates or... Now, I'm not going to sit there and say, like, beefs. We don't need any beef, like, with us here on the show. Not talking about that. But stuff like this, man, I mean, listen, it's a part of sports, right? It's a reason people debate Michael Jordan versus LeBron James. There's a reason people have these conversations. You guys got to look at it a little bit more lightheartedly, man. You can't take it where it's like, oh, I'm so tired of everything Indiana's fans are saying. You got a chance to respond and whatnot. That, to me, I think that's what makes... you know, these debates and stuff entertaining, right? Like, there's a reason you guys like when my dad comes on the show. Do we agree on everything? Hell no. We disagree all the time. And guess what? And guess what people say? They love it when he comes on. Why? They like the back and forth. So again, I'm not over here. And I know Josh Pate was saying like he likes the, I don't know how he worded it, but he was almost saying like he likes that kind of chippiness, which teaches on. I'm not encouraging it. I'm just saying it's okay, especially during the off season. Like we have all the time in the world to break down tape, to do all these things. There's only so much you can talk about with Alabama football. And if you guys, let's just call a spade a spade. If you really want to talk about something else, you guys can drop questions. I always answer as many questions. You know what I mean? So drop questions. I'll be glad to answer y'all's questions, man. But thank you, Army. We really, really appreciate that. Let's move on real quick. I know we got Duvall on the phone lines. We're going to get to Duvall here in a second, but let me finish this this talking point up real quick so I can set the table now that we got all that nonsense out the way. Talk about secret weapons, right? I don't even know if this is so much a secret weapon at this point, Reed, because I think after what he did on A-Day, I think the cat's out the bag. I think everybody understands kind of what this guy is capable of, at least his potential. And that guy I'm referring to is Keelan Russell, Alabama quarterback, redshirt freshman, the guy that we deemed A-Day MVP, right? That said, shout out to Clint Lamb. I know he talked about that. Talked about this morning, and I think he mentioned here in Brooks Austin, who, by the way, speaking of Brooks Austin, the film guy, he'll be joining us on Friday. So we'll definitely be talking football, breaking things down, moving away from this. Don't worry. But definitely on Friday, we will be joined by Brooks Austin at the top of the hour. So looking forward to doing that. But speaking of Brooks, I think he was on the next round and mentioned the quarterback battle, how he was leaning Keelan Russell. We'll get his thoughts on all that on Friday. But notably, he mentioned something in regards to the quarterback running game and how that could be very effective and very beneficial for an Alabama offense that has struggled the last few seasons in terms of running the football, particularly last football season. We know how bad it got. And it got to a point where Alabama was probably historically bad in the running game. I don't know the exact stats or where it ranks or how it comes into play, but I just remember seeing something. I know we were like third from being last in the country, and I think there's a stat where it was like that was the worst we ran the ball since like World War II, which, by the way, we fact-checked Digger. I didn't do it, but one of our listeners, I think it was Mike on X, he said we beat Texas earlier in the year in baseball. So Digger said it wasn't last time. It was like 120 years ago. So I guess he completely, you know, skipped over, I guess, a couple maybe months ago or a few weeks ago. Anyway, running game was actually in that boat. Hadn't been that bad since like World War II. That said, Brooks had made a point about Keelan Russell and his ability to run the football. On top of, we know that the arm talent that he has, we all know how special that is. You got to see it on display. But one thing that really stands out about him when you really look at all of his traits are his ability to also carry the ball, right, and be effective doing so. Reed, there's a reason people compared him to Jaden Daniels, not just because they're kind of tall and skinny build type quarterbacks, but both players have, you know, very lively arms, very accurate throws that they're capable of, but they also have the ability to threaten the defense with their legs. Now, that's not to say this guy is a run first type of guy, because you got to be careful, Reed, when you say these things. Some people kind of take it out of context. Keelan Russell looks to throw the football first and foremost. Like that is his prerogative, right? However, he has some explosive ability with his legs. And that was one thing that stood out to me in one of the scrimmages that I attended. And then, of course, on A-Day, which I understand that, listen, they it was tag off on the quarterbacks. You don't tackle the guy. But if you just watch him, he's got great speed. When he was taking off and running, scrambling from the pocket, even just some of that wiggle, right, his elusiveness, he's very shifty. It stands out. And the reason I bring this up and we're talking about potentially being a secret weapon is because the main point was the quarterback run game could drastically help Alabama with their ability to run the football, right? Which we know is going to be critical for them this upcoming season. I mean, it was detrimental last season. The fact that we couldn't run the football not only affected us in that capacity, but it also spilled over to the passing game. Why? Because when you don't have balance, right, teams don't have – they're not going to respect that, right? You started seeing three deep safety looks and just a lot of things that basically were implying that, hey, we don't respect you or your running ability. We're just going to sit back here. We're going to let our edge guys tee up pressure and get after the quarterback, and we're going to take away all these throws that you were able to make the first half of the football season. That said, how does a guy like Keelan Russell, or even Austin Mack for this matter, because he's also a guy that does have some ability. Now, I don't think he's as effective as a runner as Keelan Russell, but he can do it. We saw that last football season when Austin Mack did get his opportunities to play, right? He was scrambled. Right? Matter of fact, he had a number of plays. I think probably, I know he had at least one rushing touchdown last football season, if not two, but he can extend plays with his legs. But when you're talking about that shiftiness, that burst, that speed, I think Keelan Russell clearly takes that spot. That said, how is that going to potentially improve Alabama's offense? Well, here's a good example for you. Go back two football seasons ago when a guy by the name of Jalen Milroe was the quarterback at Alabama. Now, I should have probably pulled this up. I'll get the numbers for you in a second. You guys know I don't really go off numbers a whole bunch. But what I can tell you is, and Reed, maybe you could look this up, Alabama's rushing statistics 2 years ago versus last season. I can tell you right now, last season we were like 125th out of however many teams, and there's only a couple more after that, right? The year prior, we were averaging, I want to say, almost like 180 yards on the ground. Now, Jalen Milroe was definitely a little bit more of a, and I wouldn't say like a true runner of the football, because I think Keelan Russell definitely is too, but they're a little bit different in their own right. One of those being the stature itself. I mean, Jalen was built like a, I mean, almost a linebacker if you really think about it. Jalen's 6'2", 225, I mean, which is about the size of a lot of these linebackers you're seeing nowadays in college football. But he could handle that load. But the reason I bring it up is we didn't have a great traditional running game that football season at all. But it was masked by a guy by the name of Jalen Milroe, who was our leading rusher, who was a very big factor in our rushing attack. You go back to his game against LSU. I mean, he ran all over the yard. And you guys hear me talk about this. As a matter of fact, this is nothing new. This conversation is something that I've been talking about here for a while now, that when you face a dual threat quarterback, it adds a whole nother layer or dynamic to your offense, right? And I've talked about recently, like plus one quarterback runs. That's a big thing that you see a lot of teams do now, right? They space you out. It's a numbers game. They're trying to get you light in the box. And they have that back, which is pretty much serving as an extra blocker, a lead blocker. Now you've got six on potentially five, depending on how the box looks for a defense, which when you're going doubles with wide splits, there's a good chance you got four down linemen and maybe one backer, because that other backer is going to have to walk and play the apex, right? Safeties included. So that said, this adds another layer. But the good news about a guy like Keelan Russell, and the reason why I would deem him as almost a secret weapon here, maybe not so much of a secret, but definitely a weapon, Reed, is the fact that, and this is not saying Jalen Milroe was not a great, you know, passer of the football, but if we're just being completely honest here, he wasn't the most consistent. That's just a fact. Now, he had a heck of a deep ball, and was he capable of making those, and even like the short intermediate throws? I hate when people worry like he could not. He could make those throws. There just was some consistency issues there. But one thing he did really well was run the football, and he helped us out dramatically in that standpoint, to the point where I think it was about like 180 yards average per game on the ground. Let's fast forward to Keelan Russell. Now you're talking about a guy who has the ability to, I mean, completely, you know, pick you apart with his arm, right? We've seen how visceral he can be from the pocket, which is what he's looking to do. But now you add to him the ability to run the football. Now, I'm not going to say that he would be as effective as Jalen Milroe. I think he definitely has a chance to be very effective as a runner. But one thing that does give me some concerns, Reed, is the size difference. We're talking about a guy that's a pound over 200, right? He's 201 pounds right now. And just knowing how he looked last year running the football, I mean, he's going to be aggressive when he takes off, and I love it. But one thing we all learn, especially the quarterbacks should have learned this, you got to know when to go down. Part of the reason Ty Simpson wasn't able to finish the Indiana game, right? We looked at that play the other day. He sees cover two, right? There's a lot of grass. He scrambles to his left. He's running. He gets the first down, but he wanted to be a fighter. He wanted to compete. He's a competitor. I get it. But we always talk about it, man. Your best ability is your availability. And you can't help us if you're in the tent with a cracked rib. I'm not saying that Keelan Russell is going to be injury prone just because of his size. But one thing I know about football, being somebody who was undersized playing edge for a number of my years, there's a reason they recommend, like Miss Amy used to always try to have us at like certain body fat percentage. It's great to look all rocked up and have people complimenting your 6 or 8 pack abs and all the veins coming out. But as a football player, you need a little bit of fat on you. It serves as, you know, protection. And as effective as I think he would be as a runner, I do have some concerns there, Reed. However, there's no denying it. I think that he could dramatically help this offense. And I get it. Austin Mack could also do the same thing. We don't know who is going to be the quarterback. I just think Keelan Russell's a little bit more of a threat running the football. That said, I think if you do, which I think they will, because we've seen some of it. We saw some zone read type stuff in this offense during the spring. We saw a little bit more RPO, which they did a little bit of last year, but we're seeing a little bit more of it. I think adding those dynamics, it almost kind of, I'm not saying going back to what the offense was like 2 years ago with Jalen Milroe, but maybe adopting a few more of those philosophies and some of those play calls and utilizing them with the two quarterbacks that we have, because it's clear they have a different skill set than Ty. Ty is definitely a sneaky athletic guy. I almost think they probably could have and should have ran Ty a little bit more, which I know you're probably thinking, why would you do that? He was already banged up. Take the injuries away from it. I definitely feel like Ty could have been capable of doing a little bit more. If you don't believe me, just go back and watch some of the last couple games of the seasons, and that's what they started to throw in there. They started throwing some of those wrinkles. If you go back, I think Auburn, he had a run or two. If you really go and watch, when they started incorporating some of those quarterback design runs, it actually helped the offense out a lot. I just don't think they wanted to do too much of it with a guy like Ty. I don't know how much they'll feel comfortable doing it with a guy like Keelan Russell, knowing that he's not the biggest guy. But I will say, maybe one thing that could give them a little bit of a sense of relief, Reed, is that they're looking at a situation where they probably feel comfortable with both the quarterbacks that they have. We had Coach DeBoer on the show last week. Big thanks to him joining us. Even on, you know, the back half of Keelan Russell going off in the scrimmage, he made sure to compliment and acknowledge Austin Mack and the job that he's done this spring. So I'm not saying you'd be more aggressive because you feel confident in the backup, but I assume that maybe they're not going to be as protective. But I do, without a doubt, believe that a guy like Keelan Russell with his ability or Austin Mack could also add something to this offense that, of course, we know you want to run between the tackles, especially on, like Coach DeBoer mentioned, right? Short yardage, you know, these third and short, fourth and short goal line situations. You want to be able to line up, whether it's under center, I hope it's under center, and just run the football. But you also, it also should offer you a little bit of a, I don't know, another avenue that you could explore where maybe not in those situations particularly, but say your traditional running game still just isn't as effective as you need it to be. When you look at the skill set of these two quarterbacks, the primary options that are competing for quarterback one this upcoming season, I truly believe that could end up being a secret weapon. That ends up being a big-time solution for a major issue that Alabama has faced over the last several years. I want to get y'all's thoughts on that. 205-342-9904. We'll go to you guys here in a moment. On this Talking Tuesday, I see we got Duval and others lining up on the phone lines. We'll get to you when we come back after this quick timeout. Don't go anywhere.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next
generation and build financial independence, all with Chase. That's good for kids and good for parents. Visit your local Chase branch and get started.
Account subject to approval. JP Morgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit Lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction.
Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Stay locked in, Tide fans. This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're talking about Alabama's potential secret weapon. Not so much of a secret anymore, but I guess we could just talk about the weapon that could be a saving grace for maybe the struggles in the run game. 205-342-9904 is the number. We got Duval up first. Duval, welcome in.
What's up, Chris?
What's up, my guy? Finally, we got plenty of time for you today, man. I owe you a lot, so I'm going to sit back and let you just speak your mind, brother.
Bro, you good. You're a busy man, you know what I'm saying? And your show is popular, so I got to wait my turn, you know what I'm saying? But I'm patient. I'm patient. I'm 37 years old. I know how to be patient now. But the first aspect I want to hit on, us across the board, Alabama does not stop all 5 stars now, all the 4 stars. We don't have that anymore. So when we take out the brand of Alabama football, we used to point, I don't know anybody else, but that's just my take on that. And on Keylon Russell, he's going to be a great player. I have no doubt about that. I don't know if we want to do RPO with him because he's so thin, Christian, but he did run the 400 meter in high school, and they did set a record, and he was the anchor. So the guy can fly. I ain't going to lie. He got some wheels on him, but I don't know if you really want to put him in those type of situations with SEC caliber linebackers. You know what I'm saying? Maybe 3 or 4, you know, read options a game, maybe, to start out. But just don't throw him out there to the fishes because he's kind of thin.
No, I agree. And that would be my one reserve about implementing too much quarterback design run with him. But I do see a world where you throw some of it in there, but you make sure we're talking with him or whoever and working with them on getting down, right? Like being smart, making the right reads and getting down, right? Just take what the defense gives you. Of course, we know you can make a dude miss and get shifty, but sometimes, man, that's when you got to be careful because it's when you get caught making a dude miss and you got those defensive linemen, those big dudes turning and getting out of the stack and you're putting your foot down.
Yeah, man. Take
on the safety, then that defensive end comes and puts one on your ribs. Like, just get out of bounds or get down. But no, I'm with you on that. And I don't know, maybe he puts on a few more pounds during the offseason. They got a whole summer to go lift weights. Man, I would love to see Keylon Russell like 210, 215. That's still light, but I think it's still progress. But you're right. I don't want to overdo it, but I just think in terms of trying to find solutions for our running game, I think it could help, even if this is from the standpoint where now that defense has to respect that. Best believe when you do go to those zone reads, it's going to open up some creases even when you do get the football to the back, right? Because then they have to expect that, or not expect it, at least say, hey, we got to respect that the quarterback could keep this. You get what I mean? So I think it could just be used as a tool to help open some things up. Similar to what we saw last season late in the year. Go back to Auburn. Ty had some quarterback keepers and ended up going for a lot of yards. Now, they weren't expecting him to keep it, but still, it's one of those things that can help an offense out a lot.
He had a nice one against Missouri, too, I think, that he snuck down the sideline on there. It was a decent run. It was a decent run. They weren't expecting it. He turned into, like, 25 yards or something like that. Yeah. Trayshawn Brown, I think he's going to be a nice addition. Like, I see how they want to get the running backs in the passing game. And I believe, like, he has that type of ability, you know, to come out and make something out of nothing. You know, take a 5-yard catch, he might turn it into 10, 15 yards. He kind of shifty like that.
Let me ask you a question. As good as Trayshawn Brown has looked this spring, right, I think he would probably be the candidate for, I guess, the biggest surprise, maybe. And I think Coach Al and a couple other people that come in the stream and the chat and had mentioned him, so I want to give them their props. I think a lot of people did see that potential with him coming out of high school. But in terms of him surprising some folks, man, I mean, how realistic do you think it is to see him having a pretty solid impact? Because you're talking about, I mean, you got Daniel Hill, who's done some good things. A.K. Deere, it's his second year. Even E.J. Crowell, we haven't even got to see a whole bunch of because he's been injured. As good as Trayshawn Brown has looked, I mean, do you think it's realistic that he ends up working his way up the totem pole and earning some significant carries?
But, Christian, it's no different than you saying that Keylon Russell is a whip. Trayshawn Brown is a whip. And if you want to win, put your weapons on the field. Find a way to get them on the field. This is what we're paying you to be an offensive coordinator for. You need to know how to utilize what you have and make the best out of the situation. That's all I'm saying. If it's on punt return, kick return, get him on the field. If he has that juice, he has that burst, he's consistent, and you know he can handle it. He can handle it mentally and physically. Get him on the field. This is why Caleb Downs was so successful, because he could handle it mentally and physically. So you had to put him on the field. If he shows those traits, don't hold him. Put him on the field. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
I'm with you. No, I'm with you. At the end of the day, I say that every time, man, every year. Like, it's not about what you rank, if you're a junior, freshman, senior, whatever. It's about what you do on the football field between those lines. And there's no doubt that he is continuously and consistently just showing that he can be a guy that can have an impact on this football team. I just was curious what people's thoughts are and how confident they are with that, just knowing there are a number of other guys doing some good stuff as well. But to be fair, the way I look at it is we did get, I know there are some injuries, but Kevin Riley was somebody that nobody probably predicted to, when Jam got hurt last season to start the year, nobody really predicted that it would be him to really kind of take the charge, at least the first couple games. Remember, Richard Young, I think, got the start, but it was Kevin Riley that ended up kind of working up. I could maybe see a situation like that with a guy like Trayshawn Brown, if there are maybe some injuries or things like that. Because I fully believe, like right now, the pecking order, as good as Trayshawn Brown has looked, I still see Daniel Hill, even A.K. Deere, those guys probably being like the top two options where it stands. But I can see him, the more opportunities he gets, man, if he keeps playing the way he's playing, I could see him throughout the course of the year earning more and more opportunities because he does a lot. But I will say this, if he really wants to separate himself, one quick way that could really probably boost his chances of getting on the football field, if he can separate himself as a blocker, because I still feel like we've struggled in pass pro with some of our running backs, and I didn't really pay too close attention to what he did in the pass pro, but if he could separate himself in that regard, I think that automatically will boost his chances of seeing the field early.
That's what kept Jam on the field. Jam was a willing and a great blocker. You know what I'm saying? So that he was always going to be running back one because he stood every aspect of what a running back is. You know what I'm saying? If Trayshawn Brown can do that, if E.J. Crowell can do that, Daniel Hill, Kevin Riley, I think it's going to be a three-back system. And it's going to be a fight for who the three backs will be. But I think, you know, Trayshawn guy, he got a great shot at it. I don't know what EJ will do when he comes back. I hope he comes back fully healthy and ready to hit the ground running. But, hey, man, you can't keep TB off the field, bro.
It's going to be interesting to see, man. I mean, I like the fact that it feels like there's some serious competition in that room because that was a group that underperformed last football season. And it just feels like they're taking the necessary steps to be better in 2026. So I'll take that any day. Somebody had a cool little comparison. They said, man, E.J. Crowell and Trayshawn Brown could look to be the next, what was it, Sony Michel, and who was the other back at Georgia? Sony Michel, I think. Yeah, somebody commented that on a YouTube video, and I was like, dang, that's a...
It could also be Gurley and Chubb. You remember Todd Gurley was running it, and then Chubb come in behind Todd Gurley.
Man, Georgia went on a run of running backs for several
years. They did.
And to be fair, I don't think it's slowing down necessarily now. I mean, I like
the
Frazier. I like him. I think he only played one snap in their spring game. But the young guys behind him look pretty damn good, too. So, yeah, they've always had themselves a nice little stable of backs. Hopefully we can get back to that. Because over the last couple seasons, man, it did feel like we dropped off. And I'm saying even back to, like, what was it? Because Gibbs last year was, what, 2022, I think? So 2023, yeah. I can't remember who all was in that room. But I would love to get back to having that real stable of running backs. Because that's kind of something we've always had. Now, I don't know if I see that happening given the system that we have. The fact we have a different offensive system nowadays where I don't know if you're going to really see a stable like that. But the talent, if it's there, people are always going to learn how to adjust and adapt to their personnel. And I can see a world where we see a little bit more success on the ground if the talent can actually produce those results. You got anything for us before we get out for this next break, Duval?
One more thing. Kirby recruits dogs. You know that for a fact. Kirby recruits dogs. And with NIL, the way it is nowadays, you got to put these kids on the field. That's the only thing that's going to keep them on campus. And that's all I got to say, Chris. Appreciate you, bro. Roll Tide.
Always, man. Roll Tide, man. Good stuff, man. Appreciate Duval. Sound like he was working them forklifts or something, man. I don't want to get him in trouble. That's our guy, though. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. I said we got Tommy. It's Talking Tuesday. We want to hear from you guys, 205-342-9904. We're talking a little bit about this Alabama offense and how we might have just really came up with a little solution that could be very beneficial for them. We'll talk about that and more when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL, the big 870. A couple of days closer to the NFL draft. He'll get you caught up with all the latest movements. We'll talk to Chris Hummer from 247 Sports, and we'll make a stop at Texas A&M as we continue our SEC tour, taking a look post-spring for the Texas A&M Aggies. Coming up, starting at 2 p.m. on The Game on Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
Confidential consultation, 800-499-5351, 800-499-5351. 800-499-5351.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and warm this afternoon. The high today, 82. Clear tonight, the low, 58. Tomorrow and Thursday, partly to mostly sunny both days. Highs between 82 and 85. And Friday, partly sunny and warm. Friday's high, 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 76 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
back into this Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Talking Tuesday. That is, we're taking phone calls the rest of the way, man. 205-342-9904. We're going to wait until we hit the top of the hour break, though, because I want to make sure you guys have plenty of time to talk. I know we got Tommy, we got Bishop. We're going to keep going to you guys. But real quick, while we do have a couple seconds here before this top of the hour break, there's a number of little clips, Reed, that I've got pulled up that I thought we could potentially hit on. And I mentioned this last week, I think it was, but the Get Got Pod, it's got Marshawn Lynch on there, as well as, Mike Thomas. I can't remember. I'm drawing a blank. Sorry. Anyway, but Steve Sarkisian joined those guys, and he had a number of comments to say about a couple different things. Number one, he mentioned, like, the playoffs and kind of their whole deal and his outlook on that, which I thought was very interesting. But he also had a lot of praise for Coach Saban. And the only reason I want to bring this up real quick, Reed, as we get this top of our break, is because everybody always tells me, man, Coach Saban retired because he couldn't keep up with NIL. And I always say, like, no, man, what he said is legit. At 70-plus years old, keeping up with what he does, man, is, I don't think it was possible. So this is a quick little, you know, recount from Coach Steve Sarkisian talking about working for Coach Saban, and he had a lot of praise for the former Alabama head coach.
What was special about Alabama?
I think was see how he operated. You know, he speaks a lot about discipline. You hear him talk, but he lives it. And I think that was the moment where it was like, it can't just be what you say, it's what you do. How he came every day. We didn't work the craziest hours. We weren't up there till 2-3 in the morning. Like Coach Teffer, man, he used to sleep in the office every night. Like he was crazy.
Yes, he was.
What I know about Coach Saban from 7 a.m. till about 9 at night, it was about work.
Like that's even Kenny.
that you did and the expectation of the work that you did. And he adhered to it himself first. He didn't ask anything of you that he didn't expect from himself. And that was what was the foundation that was laid. And the names on the back of the jerseys changed. The faces on the coaches changed. But at the end of the day, it was that standard of which he went to work every day. And the people, the type of individuals he wanted part of that organization were, he didn't change.
They don't love.
So there you go. That was Steve Sarkisian with a lot of praise for Coach Saban. Anyway, I just heard that clip and I thought it was cool because it kind of painted a nice picture of that whole process with Coach Saban here and how it was, I mean, everything the same, man, every single day. 7 to 9, which he claimed weren't too long of hours. He's better than me, man. 7 to 9 couldn't be me. That's and that was 7 to 9 for him. There was other coaches that were here. Even later for that. We got to hit the top of the hour break when we come back. We go back to the phone lines right here on the Miller's Edge. It's Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfect.
A thrilling back and forth capped off the Monday night NBA slate in Denver as the Minnesota Timberwolves clawed back for the lead multiple times, overcoming at one point a 19-point deficit. They take down the Denver Nuggets 119-114, the final score, evening up the series one game apiece as it heads to Minneapolis. Anthony Edwards with 30 points and 10 rebounds. Hawks took down the Knicks 107-106. C.J. McCollum with 32 points in the game. Cavaliers take a 2-0 series lead with a 115-105 victory over the Toronto Raptors. Evan Mobley with 25 points. James Harden with 28. Donovan Mitchell with 30. On the ice, the Philadelphia Flyers take a 3-0 victory over the Penguins, a 2-0 series lead. Oilers take down the Ducks 4-3 in the first round of the Western Stanley Cup Series.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. 393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome back into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's continue on with the conversation, Reed. We've been talking a little bit about, we'll just skip over that part. Gave a summary from yesterday, and we dove into the whole conversation about Alabama's quote-unquote secret weapon. Could the quarterback running game end up fixing a lot of these issues that we're seeing from Alabama's offense as of late? 205-342-9904 is the number. We're going to keep on rolling. We've got Tommy up next. Tommy, welcome in.
Hey, Christian, how are you tonight?
Man, I'm blessed, Tommy. How's everything, brother?
I think you have Alabama another option in the two box with a mobile quarterback. Screen pass, he can dump it off. And put more pressure on the defense. The defense makes it comfortable. Oh, Alabama can't run. They're going to throw them off. So they're going to have to respect the offense a little bit more. So.
Yep. 100%. I agree.
The first ball then, I'm probably going to say something, but I'm thinking we're going to see two quarterbacks play a lot in that game.
Really? So you think the first game you said, you think we'll see two quarterbacks playing a lot, Tommy?
Yes. It's not worth 2 cents, but hey, it's my guess. But
you know, yeah. And I think my dad's mentioned that too. Listen, I don't know if it happens or not, because I know it sounds like it seems like they want to name a starter as quick as they can. They're going to take their time, but I also get the sense that at the quarterback spot, they want to get somebody in there, just like they're trying to do with the offensive lineman. They want to start building that continuity, and they might not want things lingering, but I could see a world where they feel so good about both quarterbacks that they could potentially give them both a number of opportunities in week one. Even if they already have one player deemed the starter, I could see them still kind of keeping that leash short, really, because if you go back to what Coach DeBoer said when he spoke with, I think it was Josh Pate, he basically either said that or he alluded to the fact that whoever wins the job, they need to understand that it's pretty much going to be a short leash, given that they feel good about both potential options. So I think that is definitely something that you could see, especially given that, you know, you open up with East Carolina, which I'm not knocking them, but I mean, it'd be different if you're opening up against Ohio State, like, you know, Texas, I believe, is doing again. I think, and that the first game, Reed, because they opened up with Ohio State last year, and now they're doing it again. I heard Steve Sarkisian saying it. So, I think Ohio State's traveling to Austin to open up the season. So, if you had one of those games, probably not going to see
I thought it was. So they actually play Texas State first, and then they host Ohio State.
So second game. Okay. All right. Fair enough. But on that note, yeah, you probably could see two. But yeah.
But
makes sense.
No, I mean, they don't have a reason to. Because I always say, from game one to game two, you make the most improvement a lot of times. You get the rush off, you get the butterflies, you got plenty of right knees, staying up out of the system. Now you're ready to focus on the rest of the season. I mean, just simple little stuff like that. I want to do is win. I don't care who's supporting by.
I agree. I'm with you. No, I'm with you, man. Whoever can get the job done, that's the most important thing, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But
I definitely agree. Anything else you got, Tom?
Well, the Indiana thing, I got to say one time. They beat Alabama. Congratulations. And they'll have that passion on till eternity. They beat Alabama going to the national championship. That's a big thing. But you know what? Yeah. To me, they don't have the class about winning. I made a comment on another show. They won for a national championship in basketball. And Miami Knight was a jerk. I mean, really. Throwing chairs, belittling in private and public, on the bench. I mean, it was just... I mean, act like you know how to win, Sinead. You learn from Taylor. Show a little class and humility in your coaching staff. All right, that's all I got to say. I mean...
I'll be honest with you. Outside of this whole, dispute, I haven't heard really anything from Indiana fans. So I can't speak on whether, you know, they've handled it with class or not. I'm only seeing them respond to this stuff. And again, I just try to be a realist when it comes to this stuff. I can't judge somebody's character off of them responding to other people saying certain things, right? So, like, for example, after Alabama fans saw, you know, the comments from the defensive coordinator, they started going at Indiana. And I get it, right, in a defensive way, because he attacked Ty Simpson in Alabama. So now Alabama fans are on the defensive, and now they're in attack mode. But guess what? Then you got a bunch of other Indiana fans who now are also gearing up to get in attack mode because they're feeling defensive. So personally, that's why I said I think when it comes down to it, I don't think this was so much – like, let's just be honest. Let's take this whole exchange out of the way. The say Ty Simpson doesn't answer that question, or that question's not a thing, and the defensive coordinator never responds. Would Indiana fans just be poking at Alabama? I don't think so. At least because I haven't seen that. I could be wrong. I'm not saying that. I have not seen them trying to rub it in Alabama's face, or really anybody's face for that matter. I'm sure they've been parading around what they did, and who wouldn't? I know Alabama fans parade when we win. Literally, we have a parade. But, so like I said, I can't really judge them off of this whole thing, because I just view it as you got people just trading shots. People are going to respond and act differently when emotions are involved and they feel offended or disrespected. So, yes, I don't know. That's just my take on it. I watch Alabama fans throw shots at Auburn literally every day, and nothing even goes on. Like, they just randomly find a reason to talk this mess about Auburn. I'm like, isn't that what we do in sports, man? Like, hey, just learn how to just,
I'll say something important.
Take an initiative.
I mean, you know, we have the right museum. It promotes Alabama. I'm being to understand, you know, I see that museum. The number one thing is, in general, Alabama, the punt, Mama punt, hit six, making Alabama, you don't hear this in the States. But they made Alabama, it's plastic, it's always up there. Same thing with LSU and Tennessee. When they made Alabama, it's a big deal. How am I going to say I'm going to make them the fan base? Man, when we meet somebody, we have to, especially if they're asking championship, but we don't go crazy. But how am I going to say this without telling arrogant? We expect to win and compete, or we try. Not one in the end of the loss is so bad. You get me 28-3. Alabama don't get me like that. I was talking to somebody the other day. This is against Alabama. Alabama can refocus and see where their weakness was and their mistakes and correct it.
Yeah, I guess it depends. I guess it depends on who you ask or what we're talking about. Because like I said, I listen and see Alabama fans go in on Auburn. I see them do it to Tennessee. And then vice versa, they do it back. I just always just looked at it like that's kind of a part of this whole deal. I personally just never took things so personal. I mean, now, when I was playing here, I mean, if someone's sitting there, because that's a little bit more personal to me. Like, I'm, like, on the football team, and you're kind of, like, directly taking a shot at me. But nowadays, yeah. I mean, more from, like, the fan perspective, I expected, I guess, maybe, and I just don't really – I don't know. Maybe I'm different, man. I've always told you that, Tommy. I just – even, like, the Iron Bowl stuff, man, like I used to tell you guys, on the field, like, we would be chippy and talk, you know, a lot of smack on the field against Auburn to each other, right? They would do it, and we wouldn't. A lot of the times they would be doing it first, and we would respond. But at the end of the day, everybody, you know how many times I've seen guys taking pictures and photos together after the game? Like, I think it's just a little bit different, like, from, like, maybe from the athlete perspective. We just never took it that far, so maybe that's probably why I have this, I guess, perception I do now, maybe. I don't know. But it makes total sense. Tommy, always good to hear from you, man. We're going to hit this timeout. Yes, sir.
Have a good one. Good. All right.
You too, man. Good stuff, brother. Good stuff. All right, we got a timeout. We come back. We got Bishop coming up next. I see QD tagged us in something. Post-spring top 25, according to J.D. Pakel from On3. Maybe we'll take a look at that and see what you guys think about that. Alabama, I'm not going to spoil where it's at, but I will just say that. He does not have us in the top 10, so I'll let you guys take a guess on where you might think that is and get your thoughts on it. We come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Tickets on sale now at PearlRiverResort.com. Don't miss Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias live Saturday, August 15th, Pearl River Resort.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless
precious, best quality to our customers. So we just look at it as, hey, basically, we're your kitchen. You're just coming to eat in your kitchen. Taco Casa, under the biggest cactus in town.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients.
legends from every generation.
Across the United States.
And from around the world.
We're here for the rookies.
And the dreamers.
Trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers.
Who are resilient.
And won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches.
Athletic trainers and mentors.
Who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you.
Aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and warm this afternoon. The high today, 82. Clear tonight, the low, 58. Tomorrow and Thursday, partly to mostly sunny both days. Highs between 82 and 85. And Friday, partly sunny and warm. Friday's high, 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 77 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From Tuscaloosa to the world, download the free Tide 100.9 app for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's keep on rolling on the phone lines. Up next, we got Bishop. Bishop, welcome in.
Hey, appreciate you for having me, Christian.
And yes, sir, too. Absolutely. Appreciate you calling,
man.
It's
an honor to be a part of your show. Is truly a foundation, because the Miller's Edge is just that. It's foundational. So,
thank you so much, man. I appreciate the words, man. It means a lot. Thank you.
So, what's on the dock? What's in your gumbo today?
Man, we got a number of things. We'll skip over the whole Indiana thing because I think people are like, oh, man.
Yeah.
But we've been talking about Keelan Russell, man. We've been talking about how the quarterback run game could end up being a solution for Alabama's lack of running game that we've seen, and knowing how important and critical that will be this upcoming season. Just basically talking about how we believe that could end up maybe just providing some answers for a running game that hadn't really had them over the past season or so. And so curious what you think about that, man. You think Keelan Russell, or even Austin Mack for that matter, you think implementing more quarterback design run could be the solution that Alabama desperately needs for some more effectiveness on the ground?
I would say that could give you an edge as long as the foundation was laid that the running game as a whole is the actual foundation.
Right. No,
because
you
don't want to get to where you're so quarterback heavy run, because we've seen that in the past. And once somebody gets a beat on it and you don't have a different scheme to go to back that up, you can get pigeonholed. So long as you know, your office of staff is able to do that. Yeah, I can see where being able to run your quarterback, especially if you have been pounding a rock with Hill and Crowell in the backfield, and then all of a sudden, instead of giving it, the end crashes and he takes it and rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's a huge, because what that does is, for me being an old defensive coordinator,
that gives me something else that you just added to my my toolbox that I got to make an adjustment to.
Absolutely. No, I agree 100% with you. Bishop, you mentioned that you're an old defensive coordinator, man. Talk to me about this Alabama defense, man. What have you seen out of them back last season? Then I don't know if you got a chance to watch any of the spring game or go to A-Day or anything like that, but if so, kind of what are your thoughts for this upcoming season? I know that secondary, we already know what you're getting out of those guys. Pretty much everybody's returning minus Monty Jackson, but front seven is pretty much brand new outside of a couple guys, a lot of young guys stepping up. What do you think
about this
Alabama defense?
The Alabama defense is top five. Now, understand you're always going to have graduation. Let's just be honest and understand. But then it's on the coaching staff to make sure that they're developing the next leaders to come up. So it goes back to, have you shown that you have competitive depth throughout the last season, so those who are ready to step into the leadership roles are ready for that role. And then on top of that, I've known that you have added a staff member that is well-versed in the D lineman that will add major distinction to your D line.
Mm-hmm. Are you referring to, is it the staff out of Trent Oklahoma? Simpson.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about him, but I love Coach Venable's system.
I do.
Oh, really?
I do. I'm a Sooners fan. So that's why I was saying. He was the foundation of helping us to teach the young ones how to defeat double teams. And he loves getting it out of mud, and he is a stickler to defensive lineman throwing that first step and making sure they throw a punch. So
I like that.
We lost a good one, but you definitely got someone who got it out of the mud, and that's going to add major contribute to what you're building.
Does he work with edge guys as well, like pass rush? I know you mentioned some of those interior guys taking on double teams, but does he have experience working with edge guys as well?
All of them. He worked with Todd Bate and Chavis. And so he was going back and forth. So he worked with D lineman and Edgman. It's a matter of where. Now, once again, understand you already have something established. It depends on how this coaching staff is going to best utilize his skill set. But he could do both. He's done both, what I should say. And that's up to you how your coaching staff use him.
No, that makes perfect sense. Bishop, I feel like I'm turning this into an interview, but I got another question because you said you're an Oklahoma guy. Jay Nunez, yes. Special teams coach that we got from you guys as well. I know a lot of Bama fans been a little frustrated with the special teams units since he's kind of taken over that duty. Do you have any thoughts on him? I know he spent time in Oklahoma. You know, how did that tenure go? What's the outlook on him from y'all's perspective?
I understand the tenure he had at us. It was decent, but once again, we were in flux. We was in transition, and a lot of times we were doing a lot of where they throw their hand up and fair catching. So, and then our field goals and our punting at times were decent, but we definitely like the new coach we got. But he has a definite ability, as long as to work with.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just was curious from y'all's perspective, because I know here, man, a lot of Bama fans have been a little tough on, especially this offseason. They almost were hoping we'd maybe look a different direction, but I'm seeing now, I think they posted, I guess, the contracts that are up for consideration. It looks like he's on there. So it looks like he might be, I guess, up for even a, I don't know if this counts as maybe a raise or whatever the deal might be, but that's definitely interesting stuff. So Bishop, you said you're an Oklahoma fan, but you check us out sometimes? You like listening to Keeping Up with Alabama? Are you also an Alabama fan? Tell me about that.
I'm just very fortunate that Mr. Piano Man with the long run have graced me and brought me on. And we just like to talk shop and like to talk ball. That. And we like to be able to tell the truth, because all we want is our universities, since we're like a mirror image of one another, to make sure we understand that we both got exposed in this playoffs, this last playoff. Hmm. And you can't keep that same, you can't have that same question and not answer it and go into a brand new season.
No, that makes sense. Well, and this is the last one I got for you, man. So as an Oklahoma fan, I mean, your current outlook, you mentioned that playoff game. We know Alabama went on the road. We got our revenge because you guys came.
No, I'm not
rubbing it in. Listen, Bishop, I promise. I'm not trying to add another team on our radar. I'm genuinely curious, though, because we've had Rodney Anderson. I'm sure you're familiar with him, former Oklahoma running back. Friends with him. He's come on the show, and he's awesome, man. But I'm just curious, from your perspective as an Oklahoma fan, I haven't talked to Rodney recently, so I'm genuinely curious. What's your outlook on y'all's team this season? I'm looking at a post-spring preseason top 25 that has y'all as a top 10 team. You definitely got some good returners. I feel like you lost a few of y'all's really good players, but I feel y'all are trending in the right direction. What's your outlook on Oklahoma's upcoming season?
Truthfully, we have you guys to thank. We knew how to throw a good concert for you, but we weren't able to close the deal. But hey, that's gumbo. You got to be honest in it. But truthfully, we do have some questions that we need to answer, and we have made valiant steps in acquiring the coaches necessary to answer those questions. And so right now, the outlook looks like we have something we can build upon. But once again, with like you have stated, it depends on how much we develop those ones that were behind, that were threes and fours, that now are twos and ones. So
that makes sense. Unfortunately, we don't play you guys, so you don't have that, I guess, guaranteed shot to get y'all's revenge to make a best out of three type deal. Even though I guess
now, hold on now.
I said guaranteed. Now if you guys were on, if we were on the schedule, right? That's a little bit different. That's guaranteed.
Yeah.
There is a chance, but it's not guaranteed. I like Coach Venables, man. I think he's a great coach. I mean, I'm a defensive guy, so I like what he does on that side of the ball for sure. And I got to give it to you guys. The first half of that playoff game, it looked like it was going to be a long day for us. I mean, y'all were causing havoc defensively. We couldn't get much going. Yeah. Ty Simpson had no time, but it seemed like it was kind of a tale of two halves, man. We probably played one of the best halves of football we had seen all year long on the road, which is impressive on our part. And, I hate it for you guys. Obviously, I'm glad we won, but it definitely was a good football game. It made for a really good football game. Felt like a playoff football game, that whole comeback story. But it was good, man.
Hey, but Christian, let's be honest, though. What happened is that in that game, you had the first quarter where things were clicking for the Sooners. But as things started discombobulating, we had a opportunity at halftime to be 17-17. Nothing hurt, nothing broke. But once again, we are building for the future. They have to get comfortable with being able to play in a phone booth and understand things are going to happen, but your attitude and how you make your adjustment is what you're going to base being able to win a natty.
Mm.
And you're well versed on that. And see, a lot of people, a lot of us fans, they don't understand fire tests. Fire tests come to bring up the impurities. And as long as you allow the impurity to be brought up, you get promoted and you get to go to the next game. Well, in that game, it was 17-17 at half. And unfortunately, our coaching staff, for whatever reason, We just didn't make the right scheme, and we flinched. And you got to be, you got to tell the truth, because the truth what? That you're free. Now that we know that, you start answering those questions, because we learned that from Nicholas Saban, that he was always hardest on him and his team, because he wasn't allowing you to he's gonna answer himself, so that way he can keep promoting and keep moving forward. So therefore you have a dynasty, because he was willing to answer the tough questions that others shied away from.
That's true. And I will say, in regards to the adjustments, I do have to give credit to our staff, because like you said, y'all had our number, especially that first quarter, slowly started to shift in that second quarter. Yeah. But I can tell you defensively, we started off playing a lot of man coverage. And that was probably, I guess, it was causing us some issues defensively. So then when we shifted and we started playing a lot more zone, or it might have been the other way around. I can't remember which way. I'm drawing a blank. But we ended up going from...
Now, understand... and I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
Well, I understand what happened, though, is that I don't know why you didn't keep it up in the Indiana game, but you were showing one defense and then baited us, our quarterback, into seeing something and knowing that he was he's a pre-read instead of reading the defense as the play is going. He read something and thought it, and he threw it, and it looked like he was throwing it to you guys, because he was baited in to what you showed at first, and then you pulled out. And see, that goes back to playing chess versus playing checkers.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think I had it the other way around. So I think we played a lot of zone early on. We were playing a lot of that cover two invert, and then we ended up second half, that's what it was, because we weren't getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. Then we started bringing pressure, playing a lot more man in the second half. And that was when things kind of started to go south for you guys. Yeah, but we did have some success with that zone early on, because that pick six from Xavier Brown, that was cover two invert, and definitely did a nice job, you know, deceiving the quarterback. And I think that receiver, there was a miscommunication. I think he was supposed to convert that route. Quarterback, I guess one of them didn't get it. It ended up being a pick six. But then y'all had that weird issue with the punt. I don't even – was it blocked, or the guy didn't block anybody? I can't remember – I'm drawing, like I said,
have you ever known a punter to miss the ball like that? I've gone back never as far as I could remember. I have never seen that. But those are the things that happen, and they're better for it. But I would say this, is that your running game in the second half is what won you the game.
It definitely helped out a lot.
It kept us off balance. And then when you started passing, you have the alleys. Because I got to tell the truth. You tell the truth, you're able to be set free so that you can move forward and make sure it doesn't reoccur. So once you ran the ball and Hill was starting to get ahead of steam, what it did is, now as a defensive coach, you now need to make sure Quavis was still steam enough with the tight end pop or the tight end drag, and you're trying to play that, and then you start getting some runs deep out, all of a sudden you're constantly on your heels because you're not being the aggressor. In the first quarter, you were the aggressor. Now you're thinking. And once you get a team thinking, you got them.
You're right. You're right about that, man. Bishop, really good stuff, man. I appreciate you calling. I think it's your first time calling us here, man, but you're always welcome to back, man. Really, really good conversation, man. I've really enjoyed it.
No, man, I appreciate you again, and I appreciate you for setting the foundation for what we all are striving for. All right?
Thank you so much. Take care, Bishop. Good deal. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling on this Talking Tuesday. This is the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration,
We transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are Bluetooth kits and so much more. If your golf cart needs repairs, the pros at Dixie Custom Carts can handle the job. Dixie Custom Carts, Greensboro Avenue in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
On sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Score! And welcome back into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Just had this tweet pulled up real quick. Charlie Potter, he posted this. Compensation Committee of the University of Alabama Assistant Board of Trustees are going to meet tomorrow via video conference, and they'll be discussing the contracts of these 17 coaches slash staffers. It's just kind of an interesting list, Reed. I don't know if you've peeped it. Can you say, like, let me put it back where, there you go. I don't know if you've peeped it. Do you notice it? Who's left off here? Because it looks like, if you go down the list, it looks like literally everybody from football is on here. Then you realize a couple people missing. Did you pick up on who's missing yet? Yeah, I know I'm kind of quizzing you here, but.
Well, I don't see, of course, Kalen DeBoer. I'm trying to think of any other, like, big names.
Think of assistants.
I'm going to guess, that's going to be Ryan Grubb then.
Wait, okay, I didn't even pay attention to that one, so he's not on here, you're right.
Yeah, that was like, I see Kane with Max, so I was like, you said assistant, so I was like, oh, then Ryan Grubb, but.
Yeah, no, you're right. I didn't even catch that one, so there's a few that are missing. So you hit the first two, Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb are exempt from this list. Now Kalen DeBoer's contract is good through what, six years? So I guess the only shocker would maybe be that. I know there was some talk, especially in the offseason, regarding an extension. Remember with the whole Michigan rumor mill going, and even back to, what was it, Penn State at one point. Maybe that would be a surprise, but personally, I don't think it's too much of a surprise. I put out a tweet, maybe it was a hot take at that time, but I said, like, when everybody was kind of trying to say, like, oh, let's go ahead and do that, I was just saying, like, I get in this day and age, you see that a lot, people – they get nervous, you know, that their coach could be hired away, and everybody starts trying to just double down on these extensions. But my biggest thing is, like, number one, the contract's good for, I mean, way out. But that doesn't mean that it's really more about the buyout. But two, you got to be careful sometimes, because what you don't want is end up in a situation where you feel threatened that your coach could be poached, which I guess something to consider. You got to be smart about it. But sometimes I feel like schools rush to do these things and they end up in a situation where their buyout on their end is, and they're in a position where they have no choice. So they end up like LSU. And I think they thought they they thought they knew what they, I guess, were doing or what they had in Brian Kelly. Ended up having to pay the man. What was his buyout? Wyatt Reed, you guys remember? Was it like 70?
I think it was north of 70 million, I believe, yeah.
It was something crazy. And we already know Jimbo Fisher's was, he kind of set the trend for these outrageous buyouts, I believe. Odron's, I don't think, was that. Wait, Odron have a buyout? That was
he did. No, his wasn't a crazy number. We got Kelly's pulled up here. They negotiated it down to around $54 million to be paid over 6 years. Fisher was the big one that had like the $78 million buyout with Texas A&M.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. So a lot of money. So you just got to be smart with this stuff. So we hit those two aren't on there, but Ryan Grubb's contract, do you guys have that pulled up by chance? Do we know how long his is good for? It's not as long as Kalen's. I know that.
I know it was a 2-year deal. Most of these guys are signing, you know, 1, 2, or 2, 3-year deals. Kane right. Momick's actually on a 3-year deal. So if he's getting an extension, then that would continue to tie him to Alabama for a little bit longer. Yeah, Grubb's contract was a 2-year deal set to end in February 28th, 2027.
Right. So that kind of stands out right here because a number of these other guys, like you just mentioned, that now with Clem just getting here, could that just be like an official sign-off on...
It's an approval of his contract. Same thing right. with... I saw the list. I don't have the full list, but I know like Derek Nix is on there. Adrian Clem right. is on there. The new coaches are there because this is the official approval of their contract with the university.
Right. But for these other ones, like, so these are the ones that, so the ones we didn't name, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but Freddie Roach and Robert Gillespie, I don't see their names on here. Two of Saban's former coaches here. Kind of interesting to me because I, like you said, a lot of these are like 2-year deals, 3-year deals. I'm pretty sure their contracts are probably set to expire within the next year.
They got extensions last offseason.
So maybe they have 2 more years on their contract.
I believe so. I believe most of the contracts are now going to run through 2028 outside of Kalen DeBoer, whose contract is set to run through either 2030 or 2032. And Ryan Grubb, who is currently set to expire after this season.
Any shockers with any of this stuff we're seeing? I hate to say it like this, but Jay Nunez, I know a lot of people were kind of expecting there to be some moves made. That one kind of sticks out. I hate to single somebody out like that, especially publicly like that. But, I mean, we're just talking here. Because this typically means they're trying to approve what at least a raise or an extension, right?
Yeah. So, normally a raise. It normally comes with, you know, adding a year onto the contract, so that way that raise kind of kicks in a little bit early. But yeah, Ryan Grubb not being on it surprises me. I understand, you know, not a lot of people were happy with the way Grubb kind of did things last season, but with how highly Kalen DeBoer talks about him, how highly this staff and the administration talks about Grubb, I'm a little shocked he's not on that list. Kind of puts him on a prove it type of ordeal this season.
Feels like it. I'm shocked that I agree with what you're saying. I totally understand him having a little bit of a prove it year. We all can agree on that.
Yeah.
But I guess it shocks me that Coach Nunez is on here, but maybe Ryan Grubb wouldn't be.
And I think more so that may just be, I almost wonder if it's more of a personnel thing that they view with the special teams, just because, again, you know, the kicking game was not where it needed to be. I thought the punting unit probably needed some help as well. And then returning was almost non-existent at points last season. So to see,
it's pretty much all special teams.
Yeah, hey, that's pretty much it right there.
every unit. I mean, what do we forget? Maybe the holders.
Snapper, I thought was fine, but then, you know, he and Talty went after it during the Oklahoma game, and maybe coverage unit kickoffs was. I didn't see too many issues there. Obviously, he had the big punt return against Oklahoma, but you know, Isaiah Satania is one of the best returners in the country, so you almost can excuse that one a little bit just because of who you were facing. But at the same time, obviously you got to get better in all those departments. I am interested to see, because now I've got the list pulled up here.
I might be making more of it. I don't even want to be making a big deal of this. It's just I saw it pop up, and just seeing some names and others not on here, to me, it, it, it is kind of interesting, and I didn't know if there is something to draw from it. Hell, it's the off season. We're trying to find talking points. I just personally feel like there probably is a little bit more to some of this, and also there's probably not. And that's why I was curious y'all's thoughts. I know you guys probably read into some more of this than I do. I don't know a whole great deal about all these contracts, but just kind of interesting on seeing some of them, in my opinion. Kane Womack, even though he's on here, I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up taking a job maybe after this season. I could see if he has a good year this year. I'm sure he probably was offered some. Not sure. I know he was. He had gotten offers of some other schools. Now, I don't think they were probably maybe the jobs he would be going for, and that's probably why he elected to stay. Remember, he was the head coach at South Alabama prior to coming here. But I could see if they have another very good year defensively, I could see him taking a job. But there's no guarantee for that, so why not go ahead and, I guess, sign him up for a little bit longer if you've been happy with what he's done. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll continue this conversation. Plus, I want to get y'all's thoughts on this last point because we mentioned Kalen DeBoer not on there. And I see somebody responding to this tweet, and they said they think Coach DeBoer should get a new contract. I want to get y'all's thoughts on that. Granted, we only got a few minutes to do so, but we'll do that on the other side, right here on the Miller's Edge, Title 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL, the Big 870. A couple of days closer to the NFL draft, he'll get you caught up with all the latest movements. We'll talk to Chris Hummer from 247 Sports, and we'll make a stop at Texas A&M as we continue our SEC tour, taking a look post-spring for the Texas A&M Aggies. Coming up, starting at 2 p.m. on The Game, on Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6.
Dodge Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Owner loyalty earns $1,500 cash back on a new 2026 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed-sponsored jobs. Visit Indeed.com/hire now and sponsor your job today.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
Rolled up my sleeves in Congress, and I'll keep fighting for Alabama in the U.S. Senate. I'm Barry Moore, a conservative fighter, and I approve this message.
Approved and paid for by Barry Moore for U.S. Senate.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and warm this afternoon, the high today 82. Clear tonight, the low 58. Tomorrow and Thursday, partly to mostly sunny both days. Highs between 82 and 85. And Friday, partly sunny and warm. Friday's high 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
talking Tuesday. This is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. We had a comment that was funny. They said, what happens? Because we were talking about some of these names on this list. And I mentioned, I wouldn't be shocked. Kenny Womack had a couple opportunities this offseason, right? Elected to stay here. I know he's up for what looks like either a raise or a contract extension, but would not be shocked in the slightest if he ends up leaving earlier than that contract lasts with another opportunity probably to be a head coach. I mean, we all know that's pretty much what he's working back to be, right? I mean, I would argue that being defensive coordinator at the University of Alabama, I don't really know. I feel like anywhere else you would go would probably be a lateral move, in my opinion. Personally, I think you guys behind the glass would probably agree, right? I think head coach is probably his goal, right? Returning to be a head coach is maybe at a little bit bigger stop than South Alabama. Nothing wrong with South Alabama, but we all know people are trying to climb that totem pole. That said, I think Trevor was joking around saying what would be funny is if Brian Haynes ended up being offered the spot to replace a guy like Kane Womack, which, all jokes aside, I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, listen, now our staff has a lot of ties to Indiana. Granted, it was before his time, so I don't think there was any connections there. But I'll be the first one to tell you, I know people don't like his antics on social media, but man, the way that team played, the way that defense played, imagine taking that system he had and having the talent that you can recruit and bring onto campus here at Alabama. That'd be pretty fire. I think it would actually do well. Hey, real quick before we get out of here, got to remind you about our friends over at Lamparillo Law Education Advocacy, who are responsible for helping us put all this stuff on together. So make sure you guys check them out for all your needs. It doesn't even have to be represented, you know, by a lawyer or an agency, anything like that. It could be anything from career and academic planning. They've got you covered there, of course. Yeah, we've talked about the test taking preparation. All you guys that might be or have high school students, graduate students, you name it, they'll take care of you. Application strategy, personal statements, resumes, and so much more. But of course, on the legal side, they've got you covered. NIL, misconduct matters, and all criminal defense matters that you might find yourself in. They'll do it with genuine care, passion, and relentless advocacy. So check them out. And here's the kicker. They'll beat all those prices, man. They're extremely affordable, and that's what matters, man. You got to be able to afford it. They'll do that for you right there at Lamparillo Law. Adam at Lamparillo-Law.com is the email. You can always reach them by phone, 201-317-5115. Again, that is Lamparillo Law Education and Advocacy, the official representation here on the Miller's Edge. We got to get out of here. We got Wyatt and company coming up next. You've been listening to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, and we'll see you guys there.